everyone. My name is Maria Thomas, and I work for Allianz Research, the global team of economists, strategists, sector advisors, and foresight experts of the Allianz Group, led by Ludovic Subron. Welcome to Tomorrow, a podcast where we'll be talking about our latest analyses of economic and capital market developments, as well as our views on trends affecting risk management. Let's get started. Physical climate risks are driving up disaster-related costs, which will ultimately translate into increased economic volatility, higher average inflation, and lower real growth. What will this mean for investors? We find out in this episode with lead investment strategist Jordi Basco Carrera and senior investment strategist Bjorn Griesbeck. Hello, Jordi and Bjorn. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Maria.
Hello, Maria.
So my first question is, how will climate change affect investment portfolios?
Yes, sure. So typically we distinguish between two types of risks when it comes to climate change, physical and transition risks. Transition risks are typically something like carbon taxes, which means higher costs for companies, and again, which means lower profits. And the second one would be physical risks, which are typically like floods, storms, which destroy houses, factories, transportation lanes. And again, this leads to higher costs, but also to a loss in production capacity and therefore output. So we focus a lot on these physical risks as well, because they have risen rapidly lately. In the US, fixed assets worth 0.5% of annual GDP got destroyed per year over average lately, and this number is rising fast. So if these risks materialize, this has basically three implications. First, we'll have lower economic growth. Second, we'll have higher inflation because those shocks are negative supply-side shocks on the economy, and we'll see more volatility. And these macro environment eventually will translate into capital market returns.
So what will that mean for market returns?
We focus on two climate scenarios, current policies, which is like the hothouse scenario with lower transition risk but higher physical risks, and a below 2 degrees scenario, which is kind of the opposite with higher transition risks but lower physical risks. But in general, both of these climate scenarios will lead to lower returns and higher volatility. But there are some differences among asset classes. So let's start with bonds or interest rates first. So lower potential growth means structurally lower real yields. But the interesting thing is nominal yields will not differ that much in both of these climate scenarios. Because yes, in both cases, the nominal yields will fall, but the difference among them is quite benign. And why is that? Because the more severe climate scenario has a lower economic growth, but higher inflation outcome. And this balances basically out when you look at nominal yields. So overall, average 10-year yields in the US will be around 2.5% until 2050, which is roughly half the level we have seen in the previous decades. So quite a shift. And Jordi, what do you think about equities?
So thanks. So for equities, what we have to bear in mind is that in these climate scenarios, especially in the more dangerous or harsh ones, investors are likely to demand a higher equity risk premium. That means that they are likely to ask for more returns given the risk underlying equity markets. In this situation, especially, there could be turns in terms of a regulation risk that damage the prospect of equity returns, and also carbon taxes that are hitting the top and bottom lines of companies. And because of that, what we expect is for investors to be more cautious or to demand this higher equity risk premium. The higher the equity risk premium, the lower the long-term equity returns that we should expect in markets. And just to give you a bit of a sense, in numerically speaking, if we look at the past, what we have experienced in the US, for example, is that equity markets since the 80s, they have performed at around 11% annually in total return terms. That means including the dividend. In our climate scenarios, in both of them, we would be around 5.4% for the more benign one, so the below 2.0 degrees, and at 4.7% for current policies. That means that we would be effectively halving the returns that equities would be able to generate in the future. This, of course, also translates into corporate credit, which corporate credit, you could see it as the other side of the coin when it comes to risky assets. So there's equities and then corporate credit. And in terms of corporate credit, we also should expect investors to basically ask for a higher credit risk premium for certain companies that are more vulnerable or are not taking the necessary steps to adapt to these climate scenarios. Numerically speaking, we would shift from the current 100 basis points or 1% credit spread premium that we're seeing right now in markets and we've seen for the past years to around 170 basis points in the case of the more severe climate adverse scenario and 140 basis points in the middle one or less severe market scenario. But overall, when it comes to risky assets, what we could say is that we should expect lower returns and more risk if these adverse climate scenarios materialize.
So does this mean the end of the 60-40 portfolio?
Not quite so, but the composition could change somewhat. So simply put, we say that 40-60 could be the new 60-40. Let me elaborate a bit on this. A 60-40 portfolio basically refers to a diversified investment portfolio of roughly 60% stocks and 40% bonds. And this composition has delivered a pretty good risk-return profile over the past decades. And why? Well, so far we spoke a lot about returns and volatility. But when you talk about a mixed portfolio, you also need to talk about the correlation among these assets. And the good thing with bonds and equities is, or was, that over many economic cycles, there was a negative correlation, which means if bonds lost, equities gained, and vice versa. So over time, both asset classes grew, but the volatility was reduced in the mixed portfolio. And that's why the 60-40 portfolio was so attractive in the past. Now, if we look forward, we do not only see lower returns and higher volatility among both asset classes, we also see more periods of positive correlation among them. This is when both asset classes lose value at the same time. And this is usually happening when you have supply side shocks to the economy. And this is something to be expected to happen more often when natural disasters will become more frequent. So this means in general, the hedging effect in a mixed portfolio will be lower going forward, meaning volatility will increase along with the already mentioned lower returns. Now, a second thing that we find when looking at mixed portfolios is that equities will lose comparatively more attractiveness than bonds because returns will drop more per unit of volatility, so to say, than bonds. And this means when you look at the optimal risk return profile of different mixed portfolios, the optimal one will be the one where you increase the bond share comparatively to equities a bit. And this should be the better choice for the future according to our climate scenarios. So 60-40 could become 40-60.
Okay. And my last question is, what does this all mean for policymakers?
Yeah, we have two messages there. So the first one is that the times of easy capital accumulation seem to be over. So if you went back in time to 1980 and you put 10K in a 60-40 portfolio, this would be worth today 170K adjusted for inflation. And this pretty substantial capital gains is not going to repeat itself. That's what we see pretty clearly going forward. And it's important for everyone to keep this in mind. So even if you change the composition of the portfolio, the returns will be much lower. And this is a very important thing for policymakers, for the society as a general, to keep in mind when looking into the future, especially when you think about long-term investments such as your pension. And the second one is that returns will be lower. That's what we see, and more volatile in the more severe climate scenario. So despite the many other positive aspects of mitigating climate change, you can also put a price tag onto it. Basically, it pays off financially to stop climate change.
Okay, thank you very much, Jordi and Bjorn.
Thank you, Maria.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for listening. You can find the full report we just spoke about on our website. We'll leave a link in the show notes. If you'd like to discover more of our research, You can also follow the Ludonomics newsletter on LinkedIn. We'll leave a link down below for that too. If you like the podcast, please send it to any of your friends who might like it too, and leave us a rating and a review. We'd love to hear your feedback. In the meantime, stay tuned for the next episode.